Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom. Book of Tov. It's another segment of this. I'm your host, Shabbael. Gunman named Brother Rob from Beth Yahweh Congregation. Under the tutelage of Yahkael Ben Gershom Ben Daniel HaMashiach HaGadol Yahushua. My spiritual leaders. Today I will be filling in. I apologize. As you see, I'm not a prophet. I said Ahavel will be back this Shabbat. I was waiting eagerly also to hear from him. But something came up. So therefore, I'm your host once again, Brother Shabbael. As we always state, you should know this because it's a Bible study, but we know repetition helps. Have your Bible with you. I recommend if you don't have anything else, have your Bible with you because you can follow along like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They followed the search what the apostles was teaching them. And these lessons are archived, so therefore you can go back and take your notes and pause them. Pause where you need to make a pause and go research. But as you follow along the day live, at least have your Bible equipped with. Hopefully everyone had a good week. If not, the Sabbath came in last night at 7:57, I believe it was. Hallelujah. And we're still in the Sabbath right now. Hopefully you got to tune in and listen to another excellent episode by Brother Yariel last night. He gave us a reminder of relationships. Kind of remind me of Brother Canuck All, one of his first teachings as a Kohen for Yahweh Elohim. He taught about relationships. Excellent teaching. I'm upset, but I wish that could have been archived. That was on our live Sabbath afternoon when we do our Torah portions. That's not live like on this blog talk. But hopefully from those lessons Brother Yariel brought forth last night, we can see the significance and the importance and what Yahweh wants us to see from any relationships that we're involved in, because why he has to give us the things on our scale so we can understand them on a broader scale when he opens up our understanding. Because only the open understanding comes from Yahweh. They came there and said, open up my eyes, Yahweh, so I can see your glorious works. So as we see that all relationships point to the relationship that we should have with the Father, that the Father has for us, his love for us. I'm going to open up with a prayer. Bow your head, your heart. You driving, it's okay. Keep your eyes open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father Yah, thank you for waking me up today, giving me the breath of life. Thank you for me being in my right mind that I can sit in the seat for my Aki Ahavel and be a vessel for you today on your Shabbat and bring forth a word that you feel necessary that the listening audience should hear and at Beth Yahweh Congregation. Father Yah, give me my sins knowingly and unknowingly, Father Yah. Help my unbeliefs. Father Yah, may I be quick to listen and slow to speak. Continue to bless our Rabbi Yahkael, and strengthen him and feed him and give him the word so that he can dispense them and give it to us so we can go out in this darkened land and bring more souls to you. Continue strengthen all our Kohen, Brother Yariel. Bless Brother Ahavel and give him traveling mercies so he can return home safely. Brother Canuco, Brother Mario, strengthen Brother Darewell more and more each day. Strengthen Brother Shafuta, more and more each day. Brother Ariel, remove any unclean spirits in his neighborhood, in his household, and let his soul be at peace so he can bring forth your word today, later on in the Sabbath portion. All our all our Zakim Jerry, Zakim Brother Ward, see you get him the wisdom and guidance and strength for him to open up his spiritual eyes. Strength for Sister Debbie, Sister Naomi, keep her strong, strength. All our teenagers and all our coaches, the sisters, keep them encouraged to do their Titus 2, bats of Yahweh, daughters of Yahweh, and tear down the spirit of Jezebel that's hidden in feminism now in this modern time that we speak. Watch over all our children and young ones and our children's children and our family now. May we continue to walk in your word and your truth and not be man pleasers, but teach your word in season and out of season. And only move when you teach your word, speak your word when you say it's fit to speak. We co-labors with the Holy Spirit to tear down and root up and plant a little and water a little bit. Bless your listening audience. Open up their spiritual eyes, move any hindrance from their home so that they can receive this. Oh man, we'll open up with a priestly prayer. Where's it going to start changing? Let's go. I need to start changing. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets, was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe, his servants, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. If you can hear me, send me a thumbs up. Anyone out there on the line? Shabbat Shalom, Aki, Baruch. I'm taking that as a thumb. He can hear me. Gave me at 11:08. Today, told our brother Dave well. Hallelujah. Today's date is, we'll start with the Father first. Yahweh made everything. Give him his reverence, his props. Today's date is the 9th day of Ziv, which is the second month on Yahweh's calendar. For new listening audiences, that is the month and the day that we are in the month as we live on this earth. Yahweh has a calendar before mankind created a calendar. You can find all that out on our archive of lessons. I'm sure some of the brothers spoke about those months in some of the archive lessons. But you can also go to Genesis chapter 1. You'll see how a day starts in the evening, first at sunset. Then morning comes, and then the day ends, goes out. And you also can find months throughout the Torah, throughout the Bible. But Esther, I like to go give people Esther because that's a good place where you see many of the months mentioned. Today on the Gregorian calendar is the 29th of April, considered the fourth month. I just, hallelujah, if you follow along with us at Beth Yahweh congregation, we're in the book of Revelation. We've been through the Bible. We started this journey back in 2012 from Genesis, and we're all the way in the book. I believe today, depending on what Yahweh put on Kohen Ariel's spirit to bring forth today, will be in the book of Revelation, chapter 15. Sorry, son. You must have forgot. Bible studies at 11 o'clock. Apologize for that interruption. Let me put my phone on Do Not Disturb. I forgot to do that. As I was saying, the book of Revelation, chapter 15, that's what Yahweh put on the spirit of Brother Yahiel to bring forth today. We're in the book of Revelation, which is an important book to be not slighted or overlooked. But I've learned, and Yahweh gave me more confidence when I know we were leading up to this book, that all of the answers I was sharing, I was talking to my Aki told our brother Bruce, I was talking to my Aki, brother Marielle, brother Chafuga, that talking with them Tuesday, we were together, we fellowship a little. And I'm telling that Yahweh continue to keep showing me things that about the revelations and my coworker, we always talk. One of my coworkers, he's not a coworker, but he's in my building. We come across each other fast. He's a Seventh Day Adventist. Long story short, he know we're in the Book of Revelation. So he said, "Hey, where can I call or whatever to hear that?" And I told him, "I said these are not archives." I'm like, "Oh." I like to hear about how you guys are breaking down Revelation in terms of Revelation. And I shared with him that the book of Revelation, if you want to have the keys to the book of Revelation, are found throughout all of Yahweh's prophets. And when I say prophets, all his men that wrote in his Bible, those 66 books, and some of the apocryphal books. Why would he tell you in Isaiah 8:20, one of his prophets, if there's no, the law and the testimony, if they don't speak of these things, there's no light in them. So how can somebody give you the revelation, the end time revelation of Yahweh's word, the mind of Yahweh, if you're not coming from his books and his prophets that he wrote thousands of years prior before them to show you? Everything is still on the same transmission. Everything is still building to the climax, to the pinnacle. He cannot tell you, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And so it's all in there. That's why he encouraged you to daily pray, daily to read your word. And he says in his word several times, Deuteronomy 29:20, not coming to my mind, blah, 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 blah. Amos chapter 3, verse 7, and chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 7. How can two walk together unless they agree? How can you understand revelations if you don't have the spirit of God with the testimony of his law and don't understand? You're not going to get the true meaning of it. You'll get something that you want, and we know that's from Hasatan, from the one that's the anti-Messiah, or they say anti-Christ, the one that's pulling you away from the ways of Yah, the word of Yah. Sanctify them in our truth. Our word is our truth. John chapter 17:7. That's what Yahshua prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane hours before he was put on the tree and was crucified. So that's letting you know it's all there in his, throughout his prophets in the books. That's why it said David had the keys in Revelation chapter 1 through 3. Those same keys, remember, it was told by the Messiah, told Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the church, Peter. Nothing changed, though. But what was the keys? The keys are still to stay in my word, read my word, and wait for me to reveal, give you revelations. Continue to do my feast days, my Moed days, my appointed days. You learn. You'll get a little more revelation from doing these, being obedient, or doing to the end. There's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So he's letting us know, he keeps showing us through that, stay in the word. You won't be children of the darkness of light. You won't come as a thief of a night. Because while you're standing in his word, you're proving all things and holding fast to what's good and abstaining from the evil, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You're not despising prophecy. So you're remaining to do the things that the Father ascribed for you to do. That's why he can say, I never leave you nor forsake you. That's why John, when he gave the revelation to John, John was instructed to take that scroll out that angel hand, Revelation chapter 10, and say, eat it. So we see these things through there. The angel had a book in his hand that was now open, but that book was given, was told to be closed for the prophet Daniel thousands of years ago. He said it's for end times. We see that in Daniel chapter 12. So it assures that we don't be all bent out of shape, confused, anxiety ridden, and all that. He said, what he said, John, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. What's the yoke? He already did everything. It is finished. It is finished to that part. But now we have to do the remaining part. We still have to be his vessels, his light bearers, his salt bearers on the earth and the Pope, people who he chosen. Because remember, he told in the prayer, I never lost none that you gave me. You only can be drawn because if the Father chooses you. And once you be chosen, it's up to you to remain in the Father way, because he's not going to hold no one a prisoner. He said, I come and stand and knock. He didn't kick in the door. He could walk through the walls and appear. Remember when after the crucifixion, he appeared 3 days later in the upper room when they were there, frightened for their lives, wondering what's going on, because why they lost a little faith. They didn't remember all the things that he did and he was capable of doing. So if he said he was going to come back again, you don't think he was capable of doing that? This is the person you're saying walk on water, tell the water be still, raise people from the dead, heal blind, people from birth, women that was with an ailment bent over for 18 years, bent over for 11 years, 12 years, a woman that had an issue of blood for 18 years. So this is the same person, but they lost their faith a little. Because trauma and things like that can come up and rise in your life and cause you a little doubt and fear. But that's where we have to rest assured and pull out the remembrance. That's why it's good to read his Bible. Those things are not stories. They're stories, but they're witnesses and testimonies to encourage your faith. So if you get a little shaken in this world with things, because things are going to happen in this world. I tell you that in John chapter 16, 33. But be a good cheer, because I've overcame them. Even the bad, it all is not going to be good. No. Count it all joy, James said, when temptations arise. Peter said, when very trials come, it's only temporary. Seem like they lasting forever, but no. Nah. He always will deliver. Even in your pain, I had to experience that in my life. So these are the things we have as believers. If you, instead of the world listening to scholars and what they believe, because they went to high theology schools of learning and all that, but they have a doctrine. And like the brother brought out last night, they have a doctrine of what? It's not the testimony of the law, the light that Yahshua gave to his following believers. They have a doctrine of demons. They have a doctrine back then. It was what? The doctrines of the Herodians, the doctrines of the Sadducees, the Pharisees. They had leaven. You don't have to worry about that as a child of the Messiah, because he left you his word, his truth. It's up to you to abide in it and hold on. Let's not be like the things was written for our learning. That's what Romans 15 for us, that these things was written for our learning. Corinthians, the things was done for examples for us to learn. Let's not be like the children of Israel. As soon as they were delivered, it wasn't even delivered too long. And Moses went up to commune with the Father to get some more instructions for them, what how he wanted them to proceed from this point on, because this is now they're free and they're in a new economy, a new commonwealth. They're under the commonwealth of the Most High, right here on earth, as it would be conducted in heaven. As the new earth, as we read in Revelation 21:22, the new Jerusalem, new Zion are going to ascend down. So Moses was getting instructions then how to the CEO, the president wants us to conduct this, the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. But they got impatient, so we had to hold on too. I know it's not easy because the times we live in, they didn't have internet, Wi-Fi. Guess that's all the same. Not text that. TV, radio. But they had their minds, and we know how the mind is the battlefield. That's why Paul tells the First Corinthians, what, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, pull down any imagination that exceeds itself above the knowledge of the Most High. Pull it down. So back then, yeah, they didn't have a lot of distractions as we do, per se, but they had their mind. So they had plenty of time within to themselves when they wasn't in the company of others, their mind. So now in the company of others, you also hear other people's, as we see now, opinions. Because why? Those people didn't have a lot of distractions. They just had plenty of time to their mindset. Yeah. So, but we had to hold on. Excuse me for one second. Let me clear my throat. Apologize for that, but I'm back. I'm not going to complain. I don't feel like I had that little unclean frog in my mouth, in my throat, you know, a little raspy. Every time I wake up, I think I cleansed myself pretty good. I rinsed it pretty good in the shower this morning. So why not? I'm going to sip on a little water. Last time I did a Yahweh led me to do a teaching last week, I believe. It was on and yes, I apologize. It was a busy week. I didn't get that notebook to rewrite these things and put them in each section of the notebook. This week, I'm jumping on it because he's on the foundation. And since this is the second month, and in the second month, we know a lot of things happen. House of Yahweh, his first temple got constructed. the temple that David wanted to build him, but he couldn't do it because he was a man of war, bloodshed. And so Solomon's son was instructed to build. So since it's the foundation, I have, like I said, this is my month. For this month, not the month of April, the Gregorian calendar, for the 29th day. I only got one more day in that month. I'm talking about Yahweh month, the ninth of Zip. So I got to get my foundation back. So I got to get my order back. I taught last week on 2 Chronicles. I started, I believe, one from 2 Chronicles, chapter 1 all the way to 4 Chronicles, because all that fit right in with the second month, because the month that came in last week, last Thursday, First Zip came in, and then something I came across studying, I always thought they started the construction of Solomon Temple because First Kings chapter 6, I always thought, because it said it was the month of Zip, they started the temple. I didn't find that out until I was getting ready to teach last Sabbath morning for Brother Abel, that in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, or I think it was chapter 3, that the temple didn't, the first beginning of the laying the foundation started on the second day of the second month of Zip, which was last Shabbat. I never knew that. All the time I read, I always was under assumption they started Zip the first, like as stated in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38, I believe. But that's why it's important to do Isaiah 28, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And that helps you so when you study to show yourself through 2 Timothy 2:16, be like a worksman, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you do that, that way that can clear up some things. Because like I said, I always thought it was the first of Zip. But by reading that, it's in Zip, but then when I want the Chronicles to show me, started on the second. So So I had that lesson about the foundation being beginning, and Yahweh just showed me some things and let me see the comparisons. I was always under the impression, did David do this out of his own mindset? Sometimes I want to do this. But as I was reading, I couldn't share that on the show, but Yahweh, David shared, I shared it at the teaching level, David shared that Yahweh gave him the instructions on how to construct this temple. So it wasn't something that David did on his own mindset. But what I found interesting is where the land was at and where it began was from, I was wondering why Yahweh is, and then I see later how Yahweh do. I did a teaching before a new moon. I think it was, I don't know if it was Beeb or Dove. Or before then, it was coming out of First Chronicles, Second Chronicles. I know it's in Samuel, First Samuel, where David did a census, where he didn't supposed to do a census. He did it on his own. And that's why I was wondering, did David want to do this temple on his own, and Yahweh allowed it? Like how he did that census, because only Yahweh supposed to conduct the census. But that wasn't the case. But doing that, now I see why Yahweh led me that way. But doing that, David had to, he purchased a threshing floor from a Jebusite owner, I believe. And he bought that. And that's where he offered up sacrifices. And that's when the angel of Yah stopped proceeding from slaughtering Israel. Because if you read that account on your spare time, David, by him doing that, he had to get judged. And Yahweh told his prophet, the seer, to tell him three things. He'll run from his enemy and be on the sword of his enemy, or it'll be a famine. And David said, well, I don't want to choose death. I don't want to be under the run and slain of my enemy. So that's one of the two of the three that David asked. I'd rather deal with Yahweh mercy than man. And so that's when Yahweh put a plague on Israel, and a lot of lives was lost. The angel came, and David saw the angel with his sword pulled out of the sheath, standing over. And that's when David went and purchased that mansion, and that's come to find out that's where the temple that Solomon was ordained to construct. That's where part of that land parcel right there. I found that interesting. I didn't know why. I find out now why, but some things, because after you, since this is the second month, is about Torah, Bro War for 2011, Bro War. Okay, that's what I know. 11 or 12. he asking that because I said we've been going through the Bible. We started. I said that's 2011, 2012. Bro War says 2011, Bro War. Hallelujah! Because I gotta go down to my books and find out when. Told up, Bro War sent me a text. He said 2011, Doc and War. Hallelujah. It's a nice long time, fam. What's this, 2023? That's 12 years, right? Yeah, it's 2023. And so people, yeah, that's interesting to see that, because people in churches, like we're going to go through the Bible in a year. Now, ain't nothing wrong with that, but I'm sure you're not grasping and you're getting some good things you need out of the things, the testimonies and the things that's in there. They said those things are written for our learning. Just going through it in a year, because like I just shared with you, I always was under the impression that the temple was built on the first day of Zip, because of 1 Kings chapter 6. Well, I came across 2 Chronicles chapter 3, that it said that the temple was built, so the construction started on the second day. Me just being saying that is like, you're not going to get a lot from going through the Bible from January to December, like churches talk, because I'm sure churches are not teaching. I used to be in a Christian church for years before I came this way in 2008. So it's not, I can say that maybe it's changed since then. But I'm sure they're not starting the year using Yahweh year. They're using the baby New Year year, the Roman God year, Genesis, January to December. Well, Yahweh year starts in April, what we call our March, April, springtime. That's why this is the second month, Zip. But I'm sure they're not doing it either way, from Abib to Adar. You're still not going to be able to grasp a lot of things going through that like that. But for the sake of just to say, I read the Bible in a year, because I have a brother that's a deacon, and he said, yeah, we read the Bible a couple times. And they need to go back and read it. Just slow down and don't worry about getting through it in a year. You can't do that thing like you can't do that Bible like a book. My son's stupid. Told him I got to teach Bible study. I call him late to my amen sister Shirley's son, youngest son, 4th grade. Yes, brother Ivy, we did start a gym. Well, I'll get with that, bro, we'll give you that, or I'll get with that. I got to get with that after class. I got to go downstairs and get that book. But we started in Genesis. I can tell you, usually we start, we follow the format. We started every time we come back after Sukkot. After the 8th day teaching Simeon, we would always start Genesis, Bereshit. Then I do know that. So that's helpful. But getting back to foundations, I just was thinking about everything is fell asleep last night. Didn't get a chance to finish it. I was looking at the foundation. I said, since this is the second month, and excuse me. I said, foundations and things. How important a foundation is. And getting back to what I was saying earlier about this temple being constructed, and it wasn't something that Solomon felt as though that he wanted to do. It was something that he was led by the Holy Spirit to do. And so what came to my mind with that was with us. I know I'm guilty at times. There's a lot of things that I wanted to do. Now I can look and see, because of the wisdom of the Most High, that the reason why it didn't happen, because that's wasn't the way Yahweh, that wasn't in Yahweh's will. That's what I want to say. Keep it real. And the very important of the foundation, what I came to see about foundation, probably I found this reading. I know there's a pattern Yahweh showed me. What is it? Brother Mariel shared this with me like years ago because he was studying something. He called me and said, hey, man, is this right? I said, yes, please. I thought that was. He was sharing something with me about he was going through the account of Bereshit. And it was Genesis. It was found in Genesis chapter 7. It was verse 11. It says, in the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, which is coming up soon next week, the same day where all the foundations of great depth broken open and the windows of heaven was open and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And when I was saying about our foundation, Yahweh had to do a cleansing because we know the account what happened and the flood came because man, our imagination grew wax and wax, wicked and wicked against Yahweh. And so Yahweh had to cleanse the word, flooded the world. And well, he's starting over because that was Genesis 7. Then you go in Genesis chapter 8 because Genesis 7 said that what the flood, the foundation, the waters everywhere was open. Yahweh began his process of cleansing to lay another foundation, right? Because the beginning of the foundation, we know that goes back to what? Genesis chapter 1:1, Bereshit, when it said the Holy Spirit start calling things that we live right now on the earth and the things that are in them in existence. But that found that he had to cleanse that and he created a new one, a new creation. In Genesis 8:14, so this says, in the second month of the seventh, the second month on the 27th day, the earth was dry. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and said, go forth out the ark, thy wife. So we see in this second month, Yahweh shows us a lot of things of how foundation has been a pattern that he's been doing for quite some time. I didn't realize that until I was looking last night. I fell asleep. I apologize. I did get to hear Brother Yariel lesson. Good lesson. And I advise anyone, if you fell asleep and was busy and couldn't do it, go listen to his lesson that came on last night. 8 o'clock is archived on the on his blog talk archive. And what I've seen out of that, but like, in order to make relationships, I was saying when the brother was teaching, in order to get any relationship good or restored, you have to start and go all the way back to the foundation. You have to be honest with yourself in any relationship, a marriage, business relationship, family relationship, you know. You have to go back to the foundation. A lot of people like to say go back to the root of the problem. But we can truthfully say, right, root of the problem is what? The foundation. That's the beginning. And so Genesis chapter 8:14, in the second month, on the 27th day that the earth was dry, so Yahweh told Noah, go forth from out the ark, you and thy wife and thy sons. And he started this new one, this foundation, with just eight souls. And then in verse 17, he said, bring forth with thee every living thing that's with thee, flesh of the air, fowl, cattle, creeping things, and breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So what we can, apologize. And so, and then you go down to verse 20, Noah built an altar unto Yahweh and took every clean beast, every clean fowl offered a burnt offering on the altar. And Yahweh smelled the sweet savor and said, I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake, but the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. He will again smite anymore everything living as done, while the earth remains seed and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, day and night shall not sleep. And so we can see right there from even from the Creator, our Father, as a master builder, everything needs a proper, sturdy foundation. He said, what they got to do with anything, Brother Yaka? Brother Shabbat, because, like I said in that account, when David sinned, I apologize, man. Give me this ball. When David did that census, when he didn't post, I know it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 24, but I'd like to go to Chronicles because Chronicles will give you a little bit more. Yeah, the 2 Samuel chapter 24. And then you find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. And but they count at first. I'm going to say right here in the 2 Samuel, verse 24, it says, starting at verse 13, Gad went to David to see it. That was David see it, David prophet. He said to him, Should there come upon you 3 years of famine or your land, or 3 months of sin from your enemies, while they pursue you, or 3 days of plague in your land? Now think it over, decide what you should do. David said to Gad, I'm in deep distress. Let us fall into the hand of Yahweh, for his mercy is great. But do not let me fall in the hands of men. So Yahweh sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the evening, to the time designated. And 70,000 people from Dan to Beersheba died. When the angel stretched out his hand to destroy Jerusalem, Yahweh was grieved because of calamity and said to the angel, who was afflicting the people? Enough. Withdraw your hand. The angel of Yahweh was then at the threshing floor. That's what I just mentioned earlier. Threshing floor of Ornah, the Jebusite. When David saw the angel who was striking down the people, he said to Yahweh, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. And we can see something right there, that a lot of this stuff could have, that we're going through, but we had to go through this because, well, it was all for our learning, Romans 15:4. Even back in the garden, and my rabbi tell us, if Adam had done the same thing, when Yahweh came to him and said, Adam, what's going on? Instead of saying, Eve, then he said, I disobeyed. I ate from the tree that you told me not to, Father, that tree of good knowledge. But he had still got punished. Yahweh's a righteous judge. Yeah, but Yahweh may have gave some mercy, like how you doing, David. But that's from here now. We find that out and ask that in the kingdom. Okay. So verse 17, 2 Samuel chapter 24. When David saw the angel who was striking down the people, he said to the Lord, I'm the one who sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Let your hand fall upon me and my family. And that came to my mind when I was listening to Brother Jerry L. lesson last night. He gave the comparative analogy about how Peter, he said that at the end, when Yahshua asked to feed my lamb, asked him three times, feed my lamb, and the last said, feed my sheep. And see, David acknowledged, remember, David was the master. He was a shepherd. That was part of his training to become the king. That was part of his learning. Things like I said, written for our learning. That was part of every life circumstances we go through. I didn't understand why I had to be in the army. Did 8 years in the army, did 2 combat MOSs, and worked certain jobs, or things that my father made me do when I was young, and my mother made me do, my sister. But as I'm getting older, I'm 55, I'm seeing some of those things come up or came to pass, and I reflect and say, that's why. Because I used to always ask, why am I doing this? As a grown man, I'm like, stupid. That's stupid. But everything is for a purpose. verse 18 here. But David builds an altar on that day. Gad went to David and said to him, go up and build an altar to Yahweh on the threshing floor. Aranah, Aranah, the Jebusite. So see, Yahweh, because I was wondering, like, did David pick, did he want to build a temple? And Solomon did doing what his father said and all that, you know, because that was Solomon asked for wisdom. So did he listen to his father? But as we see right here, Yahweh told Gad, the messenger, to told David what to do. So that you can see right there again, in a way, just saying like this, using it like this example, just something comparative, like we said. Go into town and tell him your master said he needed a place for the Passover. And they said when he went in town, they saw a man with a pitcher said, my master needed a place. He said he will show you all the accommodations. And we know the story, the account. We just went through that. What? This is just the night. We just went through that a month ago. Back in Abib, on the 14th of Abib, 14th of the first month, Passover, the foundation. See, Passover is our foundation as believers. We know that Beth Yahweh, but a listener, well, this might be your first time listening, and a lot of things you was taught, your foundation need to be uprooted. That's why I say pull down. Jeremiah chapter 1:10 said root up, pull down, and get back on the ancient path. Your foundation may need to be not no may, because I was there once too. Your foundation need, I got to preach this word, teach this word in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2 said, and First Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 through 15, I cannot be a man pleaser, or my job is Ellen in non-avoidant. I need to cut this radio off. I do what the Father says do. Your foundation needs tearing down and rebuilding. Point blank. Okay. No candy coating head listening audience. It's the truth of Yahweh. Because that's the only way you're going to be, have salvation and be delivered. It has to be the truth. That's why he said in John 17, said when he was getting ready, he had the Last Supper, the Passover Supper, you call, he was in that garden. He said, sanctify them in the truth. What's the truth? Everybody want to know. Everybody say, everybody claim they got the truth. Your word is the truth. This holy Bible, this holy Bible is the truth for Yahweh. What am I whispering for? I ain't breaking nobody up. I'm by myself. This holy Bible is the word of Yahweh. So that's what he means, sanctify them in thy truth. So people out here telling people what the book of Revelation means and this, because they graduated from Dallas Seminary, which is a renowned theology school, a St. Mary's Seminary, we can name them. Seventh-day Adventist, a good one called the Michigan, so I forgot the name, Michigan and Alabama. Well, you graduate from them, you top Seventh-day Adventist pastor. Oak Cliff, Alabama, then you go to one in Michigan. Bam. All that's cool and all, but you're not getting the truth. You're getting opinions. And only one person's opinion matters, and that's the Most High. So that's why you have to sanctify them in truth. Your foundation has to be grounded in the truth of the Most High. Or why at the end, what did Paul say? Everything's going to be tested by the fire. What? If it's not, if it's true, it's going to pass. It's purified like silver and gold. If it's not, it's burned up because our God is a consuming fire. That's what the last days, he destroyed. But remember the foundation we just said? He wiped out his first one from Genesis chapter 1 because man's imagination is evil. And then what did he do? He started a new foundation with what? On Genesis chapter 8, on the 27th day with Noah. And Noah family, 8 souls. And Noah built an altar. And so now, bam. So the foundation has to be the right foundation, or none of it matters. Nothing's going to count. Because why? Peter tells us this second time when he comes, this fire is going to purify everything. So the new Jerusalem, the new Zion, the new place where the Most High can come, because he can't dwell in a sinful place. That's what separated Adam and Eve. Okay, let's go. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 2, 24. So we see that verse 18. Yahweh told Gad to tell David, right? Just like, again, the comparative, where the apostles, the disciples at the time, they didn't just say, hey, we're going to have to pass over showings. No, I mean, I don't want Sean at Applebee's. You always want to go to Applebee's. What about Outback? Just giving you some stuff. You know that wasn't Outback then. But ain't nothing new under the sun, but just rename. But just trying to give you analogy because we had our time. But they went with Yahshua told them to get it. Get it. See, Yahweh does everything. He prepares everything. He doesn't leave nothing to us. Only thing he leaves to us for you to do, I take that back, is for you to pray and call out to him. Because he ain't going to force you to do that. Like the brother brought out last night, I set before you fire and water, life and death. And then he give you the answer. Choose A, choose life, choose water. And some of us, what we do, I think that's the wrong ass trying to trick me. I'm taking this threat, bro. That's why he tell us be on a narrow path. Get off that broad path, because why? Many choose that way. You see out here right now. Right now, these streets should be empty. When I say empty, because a lot of things going on, especially I'm seeing a lot of, now, the civilian cars, that's cool. They may be going somewhere else, somebody's house to worship, fellowship later on. Now. That's cool. But the cars, I'm saying commercial, when I mean commercial, I'm talking about like trucks and vans, it's commercial. I mean, somebody's at work right now, working for an employee. And y'all always say 6 days, man, should work with the seventh of the Sabbath. So that's why we foundations that were laid over the years or whatever, is a way to seem right, Proverbs 16, but that way is death. So David didn't just build his temple, once say, I want a temple. That part, yeah, that part, I give David the credit. Because he looked to see how he lived. He had nice wood from Lebanon and built his house, his city of David. I said, man, Yahweh stays in a tent. The Ark of the Covenant, you know, when Yahweh supposed to come, I said, man, why can't have a house? So that's David. But the where Yahweh wanted, what neighborhood Yahweh wanted to be in, what prime real estate Yahweh wanted to be in, he ain't let David pick that, he picked it. Sort of just like he gave what? The children of Israel, he could have gave them any land, right? The earth is his, the fullness is there. But Yahweh was the realtor. We got a brother in the congregation, really, brother Ahavel. So I mean, he know about, you know, properties and land stuff, you know. He's certified too. So, you know, he ain't no YouTube dude. Just come on there and say, hey, how you doing? You want some property? You just call me and hit that link right there. No, this brother's certified. So, you know. But getting back to what I'm saying, Yahweh a certified realtor. He know all the best choice land. Like, how do you prove that? Want another comparison? When the Pharaoh asks you, what do? You tell him that you herds once. Because shepherd men and herdmen is despicable to look down on to Egyptians. That's David telling his brothers and his father Jacob when he was going to come and live in Egypt. And what did Yahweh get him? The prime land. What did he get him? The land of Gershom. The children of Israel, what? They took over Canaan. See, so Yahweh know everything, so that's why, yeah, David said it, but Yahweh said, I want my place right here. I want this. Verse 19, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 19. So David went up as Yahweh has commanded through Gad. See the transmission, see the system? Amelia, Moses, you're gonna talk to the Pharaoh. The people were like, Moses, we don't want to talk to him. When they heard the thunder and the earthquake and the trees, when Yahweh came down in Exodus chapter 20. See, Yahweh always had a man, John the Revelator. He could have just wrote the book of Revelations, right? And just said, nah. But no, what he do? He said, nah, I'm going to get that to John. And then John going to break it down. Then my Bible students, my Bible, my children, they going to look and read and see the similarities of why I did it that way. And they can understand and grasp more. And they allow and keep holding on and doing to the end. And I give them more and more, reveal more and more to them about Revelation. So it won't come as a thief of the night. We won't be the children of darkness. We're the children of light. And he will share every piece that we need. Not a little too much and not too little. Why? He weaning us off the milk. He weaned us off the milk. We on the meat. And we learn it. That's why he took us from Genesis all the way to Revelation. So when you get the revelation, you need to know, you can't be on no milk when you get the revelation. Because if it is, you'll be just like what's happening to thousands, millions of people out here, the listening to people on radio and TV. I'm not saying we're the only ones know the truth and led by the Spirit, because the brother brought that out last night, Brother Yariel. So I said, good, listen, listen to him. But we're one of them. Yes, we're one of them. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 20. And Arbona looked and saw the king and his men coming towards him. And he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Arbona said, why has my master, the king, come to his servant to buy your threshing floor? David answered, so I can build an altar to Yahweh, that the plague of the people may be stopped. Arbona said to David, let my master, the king, take whatever pleases him and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. Verse 23, O king, Arbona gives all this to the king. Arbona also said to him, may Yahweh, your mighty one, accept you. That sound familiar? Another comparison, one of the pillars of learning, taught, and understanding. Sound familiar right there, too. Remember the father of faith, Genesis? What was it, Genesis chapter 14 or whatever? He said, look, we're going to give you this, Abraham. Was it Genesis 14 told me? Or no, I think it's a little further down when Sarah had to be. I think twice with Abraham. I apologize. He told me, so I won't accept nothing free, not even a shoelace. So you said you gave it to me, because why? He wanted the honor that the Most High gave me this. And you know what? I don't want to mess that up. So I'm going to turn to Genesis real quick. Chapter 12. Stay right there. I think it was in Genesis chapter 4. I said 14. Yeah, here you go. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 14, starting at verse 21. The king of Sodom said to Abel, "Give the people and keep the goods for yourself." It sounds like an echo on what the Jebus say. Arunah said in 2 Samuel chapter 24 to David when he seen David and his men come. And what did David, Abraham said in Genesis 14, verse 22? But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to Yahweh, hallelujah, the God of Most High, creator of the heaven and the earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. Hallelujah. Verse 24, I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me to Adna, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. And then we know how it go. Chapter 15 of Genesis, God made a covenant with Abraham. He came to Abraham in a vision. He told him, I'm your shield. I'm your Mogen. Mogen, like the wine, Mogen David. Shield of David, that's what that means. You ever seen that wine, that yai in the store. He said, I'm your Mogen, your very great reward. Don't that sound like another comparative echo on that we hear, what, Revelation? Well, Revelation, we're going to come up in them chapters soon. In the chapters, Yahweh come with his angels, with his force, his army. Remember, he brought us out of Egypt to make us a mighty army. And he prepared us through that wandering in the wilderness of 40 years. And prepared us. Each nation we conquered and fought through Joshua, when Joshua took over after Moshe. He prepared us for those things. And so you see how he said, I'm your great reward. He said that in Revelation. Yahweh come quickly with his reward. Come with his army, his people. So we go back to 2 Samuel chapter 24, which I'm at 12:7. 2 Samuel chapter 24, and David says the same thing. You hear the echo that Abraham, the father of faith, said. But the king replied, "No, I insist on paying you for it, for I will not sacrifice to Yahweh my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. Verse 25. David built an altar to Yahweh there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And Yahweh answered the prayer he had for the land. And the plague of Israel was stopped and ceased. So we can learn something like right there. Remember, we remember the account when Adam, our great-great-grandfather, when he sinned, it said the earth mourns. I think Romans reminds us of that. Because once Adam ate from the forbidden, what God commanded not to eat from the tree of good and knowledge, everything suffered in the land. Because remember, the earth is Yahweh's and the fullness thereof. I think it's Psalm 24:1 and Psalms 50. So that's why Yahweh said, I got cattle and herd on 1,000 hills. He don't even name how many cattle he got. He's on 1,000 hills. Remember, Yahweh the one that multiplies and make you fruitful. That's what happened to, that's why the children was down in Egypt. He said, well, multiplying and fruitful. That's why the Pharaoh got scared. Said, every male child that's born, throw it in the river. Kill it. It's Yahweh that makes you multiply, be fruitful. Excuse me. Oh, man. It's Yahweh make you fruitful. So we by David doing that, we see something, don't we? We see obedience. We see obedience. David did obedience. And Yahweh says he answered the prayer after he built the altar. What Yahweh say goes. So that's why now we understand. We said Yahweh is there at the place where my name sets. Take off your shoes, Moses. You on holy ground. Take off your shoes, Joshua. I'm for you. Joshua looked up and seen an angel with a sword. Said, "You whiffers against that. I'm with you. Take off your shoes. I'm the Lord. I'm the master of the host, the Shabbat." So we see when we be obedient to Yahweh, lean not to our understanding, trust in Yahweh with our whole heart. Lean not to our own understanding. He shall acknowledge our path. He will direct us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3-5. We told Abraham, "I'm your shield. I'm your morgan. I'm your reward." Psalms, was that Psalms 84:11? Yahweh a sun, a shield. He give grace. He give glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Hallelujah. That's encouraging words for anybody that's going through something out there on these airwaves. You keep being faithful, then Hasatan going to keep throwing everything at you, the fiery dust to discourage you. But you have your armor, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 11. You put your full armor. You got a shield called shield of faith. You got a helmet. You gird your belt, your loins, your feet. And you got a sword. That's the word of Yah. That sword we throw in Hebrews chapter 4, it cuts sharper than a two-edged sword. So you remain and stay courage. This too shall pass. He tells us that. We've been endured, right? But joy come in the morning. I think that's Psalms 30, verse 5. One of them right there. That used to be one of my favorite songs. One of my favorite scriptures. Now there's so many, I forget them. But we also can learn something what happened with David, John 12, that the cost of true worship, right? David's response was timeless, because when David was told, he didn't think about it. That's why I think my last time I taught about the foundation, But I don't want to leave you hanging there. Since I brought that up, you're going to hold right there, but I got to give you something else. Something else. This is the Bible. I apologize, this one, I mean, it's the Bible, but this one reading a little different. Oh, excuse me. That's why it's important, what I say, Chronicles, right? We said Arona, was it 2 Samuel chapter 24 and 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I was wondering why Yahweh gave me that lesson, told me to teach that lesson a couple of new moons ago. But it's, boy, it's funny how everything, now I can go back to them and clean and get something else. Everything how he built on that for me. I can't speak for others because the lesson is also for me too. Because I can't get the fullness of the gist of the lesson until after the lesson is over because I go back and study. That's why you might hear me rattling, moving pages. I'm writing notes for myself. So like I do when all my Kohen brothers teach my Akis and my rabbi, I go back too. I just don't listen to this and go, that was pretty good. That was nice. That was deep. No, I go back and see. And see, I can't tell what I'm saying. Right as I go, I mean, sometimes, yeah, the Holy Spirit, something to jump out on me, and I see it. I'm going to read something to you here, but I think I brought it out last week. Calm down. What I say it is a second crime. The reason why I said I want to go back and read it here, but we just read Yahweh picked David in his heart. He wanted to build a temple for Yahweh because he thought about his place. He thought about his place. And what rings a bell in that is Hagar, Prophet Hagar, chapter 1 and 2. How he said, you put my house on hold, and your house is paneled houses, and your house is nice, but you keep saying my house is not time for my house. And so you can hear the echo of that with David. Sat there and said, man, I'm chilling. My house is nice. Man, Yahweh is living in the tent. It's a Second Chronicles chapter. Second Chronicles chapter 3, I believe. David's house, Yahweh. Mount Moriah. Yeah, it says, then Shalom, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, then Solomon began to build a house of Yahweh in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where Adonijah had appeared to David his father. See, because that's where he is. That's why when I read that last week, it didn't dawn on me till this week while I'm studying. I said, oh, okay. Like I said, when I teach, I don't like to leave people hanging. I like to try to lead you through it. And then leave you something to go back for yourself and the Holy Spirit to go back on something and get, again, send a text out like Brother Aki Ivy do sometime and Brother Bruce and Brother Mataya. Brothers to send a text. Hey, you know, I was looking back and studying this and I've seen this. And then and I love that because then I can go back and say, I didn't see that. Yeah. So hallelujah. But as we see right there, Second Chronicles chapter 3, where Yahweh had appeared to David his father, and provisions had been made for this at this place David had chosen, the threshing floor of Ornan. And this Bible said, this is my CJB, my complete Jewish Bible, so it's at Ornan, where my other Bible had, it has it spelled A-R-A-U-N-A-H, Ornan. Probably pronouncing it, probably still saying Orana. It is Orana. The Jezebite. He began building in the fourth year of his reign on the second day of the second month. These are the foundations Solomon laid for the building of the house. So we see right there, that's what y'all, we just wanted to make sure I clarify why I read out of 2 Samuel chapter 24 and 1 Chronicles chapter 21, so we could find more filling in the account. But getting back to what I was saying, it ceased the minute David did what Yahweh rebuilt that altar and he gave the sacrifices. He gave those sacrifices just like We see in Genesis chapter 14 when Abraham, after he defeated those kings, and that he got blessed by King Melchizedek with the bread and the wine. And when he went and got Lot, his nephew, back, he said, oh, no. He told the king of Sodom, no, I'm good, man. Yahweh got me. And that's what we had to realize. But like I said, we had to also move when Yahweh say move. That's coming up right next. That plague stopped. And we remember when Ahavel taught that thing so beautiful last. The last Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, we had this past season, last year, he taught how the plagues, how Moshe and Aaron, Moshe had to tell Aaron to go to the tent and get the censers and to stop the plagues. And that's how that plague stopped, because a plague that came on us for being disobedient again. And Ahavel did that so eloquently. He brought out that the point of, like, because it was Day of Atonement. He was showing that the priest, the high priest, Aaron, he had to go and atone to show, like, the imaging of the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. And once a year, the high priest, HaKadol, he goes in the holies of holies. Other priests goes in other chambers of the holy, the tabernacle. But the holies of holies is only for the high priest. That was Aaron. And so Moshe said, go and do that, Aaron. And that's how I said the plague ceased that day. And that's what David just did. We see how, like I said, that comparative, how we can see how Yahweh does things. And it was stopped that day because of why? The timeless thinking of Moshe, that's why it's important for us to know Yahweh and his word. I used to be guilty of it. I'm going to share it with you. I cut y'all off. I ain't cut nobody off. I used to be guilty. And I said, back in the day, what I'm going to do? I know what I'm going to call this. Not no more. Yahweh ain't my spare tire. Yahweh like both sides of sisters now. I'm calling Yahweh first. What I mean by that, I'm praying, falling. If I can't fall on my knees or go in a closet or something, or somewhere, right wherever I'm at, the situation come, I get the news, I hear of it, right then. Not I wait till I get home. I like to pray in that one room or downstairs. Now, I'm calling now, immediately. Because we know from Bible students, from Daniel, in the book of Daniel, remember that? Daniel, what, chapter 7? Gabriel said, hey, what's up, Dad? I said, man, what's going on, man? I haven't been eating, man, for 21 days. About to fall out. I'm praying. You just got to get a preacher. Man, you were highly favored and loved. Yeah, we heard your prayer the first time, but I've been having a little battle with the Prince of Persia. He said, but Michael came to help me. That's how I'm here now. I'll tell you, you got your prayer down. So we know the things, the prayers come off our lips. The first time God was here, but we had to wait, and things that's going on, the powers and principalities, things that we can't see in the unseen world. Only we can see them when Yahweh gives us the vision. He said, how do you prove that? He said, well, remember Paul said, I was taken into, I think it was Galatians or Corinthians. Paul said, I was taken to the third heaven. I got to see things that man can't utter. Mm-hmm. That's why David could say, open my eyes, Yahweh. Let me see the wonders of your word. Nothing is impossible. All things is possible through Mashiach Yahushua. Command is impossible. Oh, I don't believe that. That's spookism or that's some magic. No, it's the Holy Spirit that created heaven and earth, that created man and all living creatures. But getting back to 1221, but getting back to what I said, the timeless effort by Moshe telling Aaron to do that, to stop the plague. Who else can come through comparative? That was, I think that was his nephew, Phinehas. When they start sacrificing with Moab and the men with the women of Moab and had an audacity while something going, brought the lady in the tent, and the boy Aaron's nephew ran down, took that spear, that javelin, and stabbed him and the woman what in the tent. And by him doing that, Yahweh honored that. So we had to do things when we told at the time, appointed time, when Yahweh said, because it could be costly. It costs others. So it costs a true worship. We have to respond when we hear that still small voice. And we have to realize, as we say in these accounts, Yahweh sharing through me, because I don't know this stuff, but he shared through us. We see that worship costs you nothing. Worship that don't cost, am I saying this right, Father? Let me slow down. Worship that don't cost you nothing, because we bought, because my lesson is new moon for the coming year of month of the was cleansing. Didn't know why now, but he showing me now. I'm kind of slow out all my Kohen teachers. Why don't you tell me, why you want to teach this, man? Okay, not my will. I still want to know why. Shut up and do what I tell you. But I'm saying, he started me with cleansing. Then all of a sudden now he got me on foundation, second month. And then he let me see that with David making his temple and telling Solomon where he's going to be at, and Moses, Abraham in Genesis chapter 14, and Noah in Genesis chapter 7 and 8, how he cleansing, starting a foundation, call it, and what he trying to show us and show me, the cost of true worship, which costs you nothing, is not true worship at all. Because what did Abraham say in Genesis 14? Nah, I ain't want to shoot. Man, that says, man, I'd kind of been offended if I was a king, but he can't mess with Abraham. 3:17, got beat down. You know, Abraham was thorough. He said, man, what? It kind of offensive to a king. See how people, the Most High, we speak with authority. Like he said, Yahshua spoke with authority. I mean, who is him, man? He's speaking like that to the Pharisees, the Sadducees. That's how we do these passages. We speak to them, and I don't mean like we yelling at them, fucking, curse them up. We coming at them with the torch, with the Bible. So it is. But you know, Yahweh said, turn right there, take just your Bible. Because I don't want them to think I got a magic on my phone or something. You turn there, I'm going to tell you where to turn. The Holy Spirit will tell me where to tell you to turn. Let me clarify, check it. Correct that. Yes, because I'm the vessel. You turn there, what that say? So we can see that if it don't cost you nothing, Abraham said, and what David just said in 2 Samuel chapter 24, 1 Chronicles chapter 2nd, the 1st Chronicles, I said, 1 Chronicles or 2nd Chronicles chapter 21, because you'll find that other account with that Samuel. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. You will see that when David said, nah, man, I insist I pay for you. I will not sacrifice to Yahweh or take the sacrifice. Because see, just like us in the times we live in, people say, oh, man, you can do what you want on Sabbath. God, I understand. You know, that's cool. Now, I don't need your sacrifice. You don't understand my God like I understand. And you don't love my God the way I love him. Because I'm trying to be obedient and do what he say. This relationship, like the brother brought out last night, I'm in this relationship. Yeah, I'm trying to make this relationship real. I got a new foundation now. I thought I knew him or knew of him or loved him, but no, not like now. My foundation then got torn down, rooted up, replant, and now it's building again. So this one here, no, I don't need your sacrifices. If I don't have nothing to offer, what we learn in Hebrews 13, we offer him the sacrifice of praise and worship with our what? The lips that he gave us when he created us with this body. Or let this mind be in you. We speak it out of our mind. We have nothing to offer him. And what I mean by that, like we just said, the cost of true worship, if it costs you nothing, it's not true worship. When you do get a chance to get something, now you offer Yahweh something. But when you don't have it, he know that. He told us that in Michael. Then he say what? In Jeremiah, I didn't want bulls. Jeremiah 7, I believe. I didn't want goats, bulls, or sacrifices. I just want your obedience. And listen to my laws, commandments, and statutes. And my prophets. What we told, what is it? 1 Chronicles chapter 20, one of the rabbis' favorite verses. Almost Jackson, bless you up, 1 Chronicles 20. 2021, y'all know how it go. Listen to Yahweh. Listen to his prophets. Oh, my goodness. I'm beating that up. I apologize. Let me turn that thing. Put on my heart. Think of the first Chronicles. It's out of there. Can't lose track. Let's see. 127. This thing been cut up. 1227. Okay. First Chronicles chapter 20, I think it is. And let me see. Springtime, Jingle. No, that's day. So it got to be the other king, Jehoshaphat. I think Jehoshaphat cut him a second card. Chapter 20. Somebody on their head, give me that. See that one? Yeah, I think it is doing Jehoshaphat. Next morning, take your time. Well, I find this. You can go to Numbers chapter 13. Okay, but I need to find this established. Yahweh prophets to be established. And I thought that was from my prophets. And he said, "Come." Ah, there it is, hallelujah. Second Chronicles chapter 20. It says, and they rose up early in the morning, the Levites and the children of the Kohath. The Kohath, they stood up and praised Yahweh of Israel with a loud voice on high. Jehoshaphat, he bowed his head to the face of the ground. And they was worshiping Yahweh, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They said, raised up early in the morning. Second Chronicles 20:20, and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in Yahweh, your mighty one, your God, so shall you be established, believe his prophets, so you shall prosper." And when he had consulted the people, he appointed singers unto Yahweh that should praise the beauty of his holiness, and that they went out before the army to say, "Praise Yahweh, for his mercy endures forever." Hallelujah. All right, now say, meet me in Numbers chapter 13. So we see true worship costs you something. Mm-hmm. Even like I said, if you don't have no you don't have certain things like that at a time. But Yahweh, everybody can't go around. And we told Ecclesiastes, everybody gets a chance. Rabbi, I went through that this summer so eloquently. So, yeah, you may not have enough for a season. Things come in seasons. But you always not going to not have anything. And if you do find yourself in that state, you have to ask yourself, ask Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, what am I doing wrong? Am I not being a good steward? What's happening? Why I have holes in my pocket, like Hagar said, Prophet Hagar, chapter 1, verse chapter 2. So the cause of true worship. If it don't cost you nothing, that's not true worship at all. And when we fall in and going through some things, like I said earlier, this should be encouraging to us that we should not let that blind us from our spiritual things that we know, that we knew our armor. Like, wow, things was going on, but Moses said, "All right, go to the tabernacle, to the door, and pray, as I have brought out last the Day of Atonement." David, as we just read 2 Samuel's account, he put that threshing floor. Yahweh told him he built the altar there, and the plague stopped. So we had to stick to our principles. If we could get caught in a rut and have some time talking to you, say, it don't make no difference anyway. You ain't been given in the last 10 years anyhow, 15 years. What's another 3 years? Whatever. Keep that treat yourself. I can't have, that's on you. Now meet me, I said meet me in where? Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. What time is it? 12:33. Mm-hmm. I thought it was 1:33, fine. I said, I hang up the phone. But I looked at the time on the phone. I've been on the phone at 1:32. I was the same time as the time. Well, of course. That makes sense. We started at 11 o'clock. Kind of slow out there. Listen to it. I'm back. All right, go to Numbers chapter 13. Okay, remember I said about the timeliness and you wait on Yahweh and you listen though for the voice, but when it's time to move, you have to move accordingly and not leaning on your own understanding, but acknowledging Yahweh. Number 13, you know this, you heard this account before. Number 13. Yahweh said to Moshe, send men on your behalf. You see who said it? Not Moses. Yahweh said to Moshe, send men on your behalf, that they may spy the land, search the land, do a survey. Survey, right? Yahweh already know. Remember I said he's the best realtor. Why would he send them to some bad land, some bad frat? Yahweh's not a crook. Now somebody in the world is like saying, you like this is some nice property right here, it's good, and they know they just trying to make a sale because they greedy. They caught in the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And the money. Remember, we told what, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 10, hey, Ariel taught that, or I taught that. One of us taught that this summer. Money is not evil. It ain't nothing but a piece of paper. That spirit of mammon is behind the money that Yahshua said, beware of covetousness and you can't worship two masters. For the love of money causes those who have it to err. But he said it can cause them, but we know Father Abraham, it didn't cause them to err. Yes, he had sinned because we born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and we learn from each one of these people. Nobody was perfect, but Yahweh can use an imperfect vessel, because he's the pot, as Brother Dale Well brought out. So we can learn from these things. But the key, what we learn, if you do have some wealth and money, don't let the spirit overtake you. What's the example with that? There was a rich young ruler came up and said, what must I do to have salvation? He was showing off. He faked some good character, but he ain't had no integrity. He just wanted everybody to say, ooh, ain't that old boy got the money? Everybody knows somebody got money. Especially nowadays, you pull up in a ride, jewelry. But he said, what must I do? And he told him, I do that since I was little. I followed all the commandments. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. That's what told him that. So any young person listening with some money go, it's hard to follow that Bible. Like my coworker tried to tell me last week. That was back in the Bible days. I said, we still in the Bible days. Heaven and earth ain't past, homeboy. He got quiet because I know he don't know. But so, no, we still in it. That Yahweh way still apply. That's why the world going crazy now. We wonder what's going on in the world. Men marrying men, women marrying men, women. Women marrying men and men marrying women, but they got four or five other girlfriends on the side. You can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. Stealing, lying, men pleasers, cheating, covenant breakers, truth breakers, moving landmarks, stealing from people. So it's still Bible time, but if you look in his Bible, you'll see that people, so that's a white man book wrote that. You look in the Bible and see that when you do those things, what is a judgment coming behind those things. So it's best for you to do what Yahshua say before the forerunner came and said, repent. Come on and get baptized in the baptism of repenting because there's one coming. And then when he came, he said, repent. The kingdom of Yah is at hand. Yahshua came. That was his main ministry. Repent. For those who were sick, what he said, the people that are not sick, they don't need healing. I come from the sick and the lost. So Yahweh know the good land. So what he tell them? Verse 2, Send men, Numbers chapter 13, send men that may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their father shall send a man, every one a ruler amongst him. I want that red in the number. I want to see some. Apologize for that, fam. Come on. I missed one too, fam. I guess I'll do that the next time. Talking about building another foundation. Well, I ain't gonna do no rabbi. I'll be on some other nation. First Samuel. Remember, there was somebody named Eli. He was a high priest. Yahweh had to what? Bring up Samuel, who his mother dedicated him to do the works of Yahweh. If Yahweh gave her a child, he gave her a man child. And so Samuel became a known prominent figure in Israel. He became what, a seer, which we call a prophet, and a priest. And he wasn't from the tribe of Levi. But saying that is what, he had to come in and preach that word in season and out of season. It couldn't be a man pleaser. And that's bold. Because why? He was living in that man house. He was, well, Yahweh house, where he was a servant under Eli and Eli's sons in the temple. And he had to tell him Samuel thought Eli was calling him. And he came, yes, you called me. He said, I ain't called you, go lay down. And the second time, he said, yeah, you called me. Samuel went to Eli, he said, I ain't called you. Then Eli thought about it, like, whoa. So you see, Eli knew he wasn't living right. So he goes show the Holy Spirit, he just don't come in. Bam. He let you know, like, I'm here. So Eli, what did he tell him when you read that account the first time? He told him, he said, hey, the next time you hear that voice, you said, it is me, Lord, speak to your servant. And the third time he heard it, and he did what? The instructions like Eli told him. He didn't get up and go to Eli and say, hey, Eli, he called me again. Now, Eli knew what was going on. And what I'm bringing that up was, Yahweh had to what? Tear that foundation down. Because we know the account that happened. And then something very tragic happened to Israel. That was the beginning of the fall. What was that? Well, one of the major beginnings of the fall, what was that? That Eli, the high priest, he died. The Philistines came and captured and took the Ark of the Covenant, where Yahweh told Israel, I'll come and dwell with you at that Ark of the Covenant. And his sons died. So what happened? Samuel had to come in with a new foundation and build. So that's why I said I couldn't leave you without that. It wouldn't be fair because it just came to my mind while I was trying to Numbers. But getting back to Numbers chapter 13. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to be at Numbers 13. Chapter 13, verse 2. Okay, verse 3. Numbers chapter 13, verse 3. And Moses sent them from the wilderness. Moses didn't say, hey, man, just wait tomorrow. What's good? The timeliest response can be very timely and critical. Okay. Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the commandments of Yahweh. All of them were men who were heads of the children of Israel. And we know their names. We can skip on down. Should we skip down? Nope. Might as well. Part of the lesson. Verse 4, these were their names of the tribe of Reuben. Shemoa, the son of Zakor, of the tribe of Simeon. Shaphat, the son of Hori, of the tribe of Judah. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Issachar. Egal, the son of Joseph, of the tribe of Ephraim. Hosea, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Benjamin. Palti, the son of Raphu, of the tribe of Zebulun. Gadiel, the son of Zadi, of the tribe of Joseph, of the tribe of Manasseh. Gadi, the son of Susi, of the tribe of Dan. Amiel, the son of Gimeli, of the tribe of Asher. Sethua, the son of Michael, of the tribe of Naphtali. Nahibi, the son of Vophasi. Of the tribe of Gad, Giel, the son of Micaiah. These are the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land. Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And that name is Yahushua. Hallelujah. Verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way by the south and go into the hill country. See the land, what is in it, and the people who dwell there, whether they are strong or weak, and whether they are few or many. And so we know how, and he said, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good or bad, or what city they are that they dwell in, whether they're camps or a stronghold, and what the land is, whether it's fertile or poor, whether there's wood there or not. Be courageous, that's the key I want, verse 20, and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rohob and the entrance of Hamath. Okay, so now we're going to come down to verse 23. They came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes. Okay, we're going to go down. Verse 25. They returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. Now, I didn't know that. Hallelujah. See, that's why I said that going through the Bible in 1 year, which I never completed the Bible going through 1 year. It took me, what Brother Ward said, 2012. Took me, what, 13, 12? Hold on, 11, 21, 2, 3. Took me 12 years. Hallelujah. And I'm still catching little tidbits that like, oh, I didn't know they went 40 days. What's 40? Ain't 40 in the Hebrew the mill? I'm saying, right, it's 50. The mill. The mem in Hebrew is also the 13. And that could be an open mem or closed mem. We know what the closed mem is, it's something hidden. Something that has a deeper meaning. All of it has a good meaning, but a deeper meaning. Just like we see an aleph and a tav, an et before certain words, a strong sign that Yahweh brings out in his word to show us. And they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, verse 25, number 13. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel to the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back the word to them that all the congregation, they showed them the fruit of the land. They told them and said, we came to the land where you sent us, Yahweh. Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell there in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and Amalek dwells in the land of the south, and the Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwells in the hill country. The Kenite dwells by the sea and along the side of Jordan. You hear that? Remember the Jebusite who where David bought that land from, where Yahweh led him in 2 Samuel chapter 24, First Chronicles chapter 21, where Yahweh led him to the Jebusite, where David purchased that threshold for it, where that temple foundation was laid. And as the brother brought out last night, we came to find out Mount Moriah in that area. Hallelujah. verse 30, Caleb still, verse 29, the Jebusite and the Amorite dwell in the hill, the Canaanite dwells by the sea and along the side of Jordan. Verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once. That's one person, Caleb, right? And possess it, for we are well able to overcome. But when the men who went up with him said, we aren't able to go up against the people, for they are strong. So what? It was 12 people sent, right? One out of the 12 said, we can do it. That was Caleb, right? What tribe Caleb was from? It said Caleb was the son of what? Judah? Ain't that the fourth tribe, right? Interesting, right? Yo, hey, well, hey, fourth tribe. Caleb said, we can do it. Okay. Let me see what their name mean to me since we here. Got a couple more. Tribe of Judah, yeah? Caleb. The son of Jephunneh, he will be facing. Panah, don't that sound familiar, family? That Hebrews 6:4-7. Remember our great grandfather, who through his lineage It said the Messiah would come from the tribe of, he had 12 children. Jacob had 12 children. And then remember in Genesis, he wrestled before Yahweh did what? Tore down his old foundation. Remember, Jacob had a foundation for being supplanted, right? Trickster or whatever. And Jacob had to get his foundation torn down. Jacob, it caused Jacob. Remember we said true worship. If it don't cause you nothing, it ain't true worship. It caused Jacob what? Remember? He walked with a limp the remaining of his days. Because why? I said he wrestled with the angel. And that panah, face to face. So I just wanted to see Caleb. That was just in Caleb's blood. Fourth tribe, right? Caleb, fourth tribe. First one said we can do it. Judah, Caleb. All right. They say Caleb's name in the Hebrew 36:12 means dog. Dog. Or else from the same sense of a forcible. 36:11, Kalab, dog, literally, contemptible, basement, figurative. But if you go to the strong definition more, go a little deeper, say, they say from an unused root meaning to yelp, or else to attack, hence by euphorism. Okay, so 36:11 in ancient Hebrew literature. But that shin and that staff, so that's what? That's the shin and that staff, that's that lama. So we can see right there, that's why, as people say, Caleb had that dog in him. Really, when dog gonna do him a justice, he had a characteristic of a dog. What most dogs do? Attack. So that's why he said we can do it. So let's go back to verse 30. It was only two, right? It was only two didn't go. Two out of the 12, so that's 10. And Caleb, and from the tribe of Ephraim, that's Hoshea, who got his name changed to Yahushua. And Hoshea's name means what? Salvation. Deliverer. So let's attack them because we can take them. You read what Caleb said, and then the one nun said, Hoshea, before his name got to Moses changed name, to Yahushua, the salvation, the deliverer. 1250 article, save the prime room, or freeze the purpose. Okay, that rescue. All right, so we get back. He was from what? Tribe of Ephraim, son of Nun. And we know Nun means, it's the 50 in the Hebrew, mean continuum, right? My Hebrew teacher's on the line, forgetting about Jack down. Petrum, continue, yeah, continue. Andrew. Yep, it's the Nun and the Nun. Double Nun. That's the prime root, the double Nun. It's a picture, that picture of a seed in the Olivet. It means the seed of the seed. Hallelujah. Continuation of life. So the cycle continues. So Nun had that in him, the continuation. So he said, we can do that. They can do that. So let's get back to Numbers. Let's finish this off. Verse 30, because I got to keep 7 minutes. Verse 31, but the men went up with him, said, we're not able. So that's 10 that said we can't do it, and that's 2 that said we can do it. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto Yahweh, unto the children of Israel, saying that the land through which we have gone searched is a land that be eaten up in the inhabitants there. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Uh-huh. So we can learn from what? 1 Samuel chapter 15, I think it was. When Saul didn't obey Yahweh's servant, that's why he couldn't be established a prophet, like what 2 Chronicles 20:21 say, this is a prophet be established. That's why Saul had what? Foundation, Israel's first king, foundation had to be what? Torn down, rerooted. That's how David come along, and we read about it, 2 Samuel chapter 24, that got the foundation for the temple for Yahweh. Yahweh had to tear down Saul, uproot that foundation. Because he told Saul, what to do, to destroy everything. And then Saul saved some what? He saved some things. So his worship wasn't true. Because why? He told him to get rid of everybody, Saul. Don't take anything. It costs you nothing to obey. That didn't cost you. You didn't obey. You wanted to hold prizes, some of the booty, which you was the king of Israel. Yahweh's going to give you everything if you be obedient. 1253. But what I'm saying, what we can see right here is verse 32 at the end when he said, and all the people saw the men of great stature in that land. When he tells Samuel, he said, oh, this got to be, when he went to Jesse, he told him, go pick Jesse. Jesse got a boy for him. He's going to be king, next king, because I'm going to start another foundation. I'm going to root up and tell. He said, no, it can't be him. He said, Yahweh don't judge on outward appearances. Yahweh judge from the inner, man's inner qualities. Numbers 33, and they saw the giants, son of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in their own sight of grass. In their own mind, they thought they was little. But remember, David conquered what? Goliath, and Goliath laughed at him, like, you send this little child up to me? And David was like, see, your mindset. We can do all things. Great exploits to Yahweh. 12:54. Where we at? Numbers 7:14. All the congregation lift up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, want to go back to Egypt again?" That's another lesson. I'm seeing Egypt come up, and I think I see what he's trying to let me see. And they're going to have a nerve to blame him. If you read verse 3, he brought us to this land that we could die by the sword. We were better off in Egypt. You better off in the bondage and slavery and dying. That's what we had to realize sometimes. That's why, that don't cost nothing. That doesn't require sacrifice or commitment or be faithful in a relationship. Verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return it to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in front of the assembly of congregated children. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Juniper, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying that the land which we passed through to search it exceedingly is good land. If Yahweh delight in it, us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, land of honey. Only rebel not ye against Yahweh, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. See, they got the spirit like David. Verse 56. But all the congregation bad and stoned. They wanted to stone them. We'll get to that later because I got to close this. But what I want to get to before I close this is, okay, the people rebelled. God rebuked the unbelieving believers. So it just takes two people. Let me say two or more can what? Slay thousands, right? 10,000? We have to believe that. When we looking at facing anything right now, the time we live in right now, we're still in Bible. We still believe our King sits on the throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And all things of heaven and earth and power are given to him, Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission. Do you believe that? So we still have to believe those things and keep that. Let them know we have confidence still in this relationship that we are building and established with him. Okay? Moses intercedes again. And then we'll get to that again. But what I wanted to get to, they went up on their own when Yahweh didn't tell them, and we know the story to that. We're going to end right there. I apologize, family, but I got to be ordered. When you giving the word, you can keep going. No, I can't. So it's foundation. New Year, cleansing the temple, getting more. Father Yahweh, forgive me my sins and trespass, tear down stronghold. Continue to open up my spiritual eyes, Father Yahweh, and let me see what the lesson that you told me to give today, present today, what I can learn and glean from it, that I can continue to share more and glean from my brothers and that's in your family. Continue to watch over our spiritual leader, guide him, Continue strengthening all the people in our congregation that suffer spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And continue strengthening relationships, as Brother Yariel put out so eloquently. Watch over our brothers that's out of town and their families. Watch over our Beth Yahweh family. And continue to let us be doers of this word in this book. In the name of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, amen. Close the prayer. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of eternities, righteousness in all generations, trustworthy, mighty one who says and does and speaks and fulfills all words, are righteous and true, trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our power, trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. Hallelujah. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate, King, blessed are Yahushua, the mighty one who's trustworthy in all his words. Shabbat shalom, Israel. Hold on. Thank you, Father.